County.
Morning. May it please the court, Christopher Taylor on behalf of the appellant Jeffrey McKee. If I can reserve 2 minutes, that'd be appreciated. There's really here two sets of records that are at issue, two sets of exemptions being claimed. One of them has to do with the jail records. I honestly think that's a fairly straightforward decision. I don't think there's any way to distinguish Sergeant from what the King County prosecutor did in this instance. The fact that Mr. McKee was the requester is written permission to redisclose or to disclose and copy those jail records. And so the argument that King County's making is that, well, there's no bad faith present. That was not an issue before the trial court. Summary judgment was not granted on that basis, and it would have been inappropriate had they done so. Bad faith is a question of whether or not Mr. McKee is entitled to penalties, and if so, what those penalties are. But it does not affect whether or not King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office wrongfully withheld the records in the first place, which they did, at least at first. They were produced later. The other set of records at issue primarily are emails between members of the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office and various other players, including law enforcement and victim advocates. And the record, I don't think, is clear enough as to what the substance of those emails are to determine whether or not the exemption can apply, the exemption in question being that of work product, to clarify that these were, in fact, requests either as part of the investigative end of things or attorney-client communications, if it was that, but it appears they're really going with work product here. Furthermore, there appears to be a great deal of information from those emails that could have been redacted but was not. The records were withheld in their entirety. There's the sending information, the to and from lines, the subject perhaps, that date on which the record was created, all of which is included in the redaction log, and therefore the records themselves could have been produced, at least in a redacted form, at the very least, and were not. Also challenging the question that there was the records were in fact provided to the trial court for in-camera review. There didn't seem to be any objection to that. It is discretionary with the trial court as to whether or not to allow in-camera review or to require it. It was not done here, and had in-camera review been done, there would have been clarification about the extent to which the records in question were in fact work product or were not, and the fact that the trial court did not actually review those records is an abuse of discretion on these facts. The court has to go ahead. Any of your honors have any questions? Otherwise, I think I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Janine Jolly from the King County Prosecutor's Office representing King County in this matter. There are three issues that have been raised on appeal. The first is the trial court's decision not to conduct in-camera review. The second is the listing of the jail record on the exemption log. And the third is the withholding of documents in their entirety rather than with redactions. And I'd like to address the issues in that order, unless, of course, the court has questions. But first, just some brief background. Procedurally, this case has been pending for almost 2.5 years. And it's clear from the complaint, in particular the exhibits, that when Mr. McKee first filed this lawsuit, it was because of his objection to the county's scanning charge. That issue was resolved in the case with the first summary judgment motion, and Mr. McKee has entirely abandoned that issue on appeal. But instead, 3 years later, in addition to that, 3 years later, he still has not paid for the documents he requested. Instead, we're here now on an issue that McKee raised at the last possible moment in this lawsuit. It was in response to the county's second summary judgment motion, when it was clear that the case was just about to be dismissed in its entirety. Mr. McKee suddenly had many complaints about the exemption log. And this despite the fact that months earlier, 5 months earlier, he had been served with a one-question interrogatory asking him whether he had any, what documents he believed were improperly listed on the exemption lot. He failed to respond to that discovery. But now here we are talking about the exemption log, and as the trial court did, we're asking this court to dismiss the case, to uphold the dismissal of the case. With respect to the issue of the in-camera review, as indicated by counsel, that is a discretionary decision on behalf of the trial court. It's permitted, but it's not required in a Public Records Act case. And the courts can find that documents are properly exempted based on the agency declarations. The case discussing the review.
Can you say that that's clear? What is the case that says that? You're talking about whether you can just provide an exemption log rather than take each page and redact the letter. And is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm talking about the declarations that we submitted before the trial court proving that our exempted documents are work product.
Oh, I see. All right.
And so, in respect to that, the issue that I was addressing, the overlay court did list out the factors that we put in our brief that a reviewing court can consider to decide whether the trial court abused its discretion or not. Things like judicial economy, whether there's bad faith by the agency, and whether the agency itself requesting camera review. And the overlay court said, or the Court of Appeals in that overlay case said that it considered in light of those factors, in-camera review is only necessary if the court can evaluate the asserted exemptions based on the government affidavits. And Division 2 in Harris versus Pierce County affirmed a trial court decision not to review work product in camera, and that's similar to this case. That was a work product memo from the Criminal Division of the Pierce County Prosecutor's Office. The court said in-camera review was not necessary because the pleadings clearly showed that the document was exempt. So here, it's not just one memo, but 29 emails also. And in the Harris case, the Court of Appeals said that it wasn't discretion. It was mindful of judicial economy for the trial court not to review it in camera. And so here we have many more documents. And we did provide to the trial court declarations that had relevant information about each of those documents. For example, they described the authors, the recipients, the detail about the comments, and in particular, document one, which is the memo, was described as a memo from one deputy prosecuting attorney assigned to the McKee case to the King County Sheriff's Office detective who led the investigation. And the memo was described as a request by the prosecutor for further information to be completed, quote, in order to proceed to trial on the charge count and to prepare additional counts. And all of the other documents were described similarly in our declarations that were provided to the trial court. So the county had no objection to in-camera review. We even provided the documents to the judge and asked for an in-camera review. But he did not do an in-camera review, and we believe that was within his discretion, and the court can uphold this decision based on the record before you. With respect to the jail record, we have admitted that we made an error in putting that record on our exemption log. The county's position, however, this is not about access, and it's not about getting the jail record. It's about an inmate's use of the PRA to extract fees, penalties for a simple good faith mistake made by an agency. And the county believes that that's what the legislature was trying to protect against when it enacted the inmate penalty statute 4256565. The legislative history of that statute indicates that the legislature intended to only allow penalties for inmates when the conduct of an agency defeats the purpose of the PRA and deserves harsh punishment. That's clearly not the case here. McKee had the exemption log in December of 2011. He knew at that point that the jail record was being withheld, and even regardless of this court's decision in Sargent, he could have told the agency at any point that he was giving written permission for that record to be released. And during the course of the litigation, as I already mentioned, we did serve him with an interrogatory asking him whether there were any documents on the exemption log that he believed were improperly withheld, and he refused to respond to that interrogatory. Instead, he waited until the lawsuit was just about to be dismissed to bring up this issue. And when it was raised to the county, we immediately provided the record to him for free. So it leads to another point that goes to the unique facts of this situation is that because McKee never paid for the records that he requested, the fact that we made a mistake and put that jail record on the exemption log is the only reason that he has that jail record at this point. Had the county mistakenly not listed the jail record on the exemption log, it would still be sitting on the CD in our office with the 2,177 other documents that we prepared for McKee that he never paid for. And in order to be a prevailing party, he has to show that he prevailed in an action seeking the right to inspect or copy a public record. And maybe in another factual scenario with a different plaintiff, with different circumstances, the exemption log mistake would lead to such a finding, but we don't believe it is in this case. We believe just the opposite is true. However, even if the court were to deem that this is a violation of the act and that it should be remanded, we would ask that the court give instruction to the trial court that it's only as to costs, not as to penalties. McKee is only entitled to penalties under the inmate statute if he can show that the agency acted in bad faith in denying him the opportunity to inspect or copy a public record. Here it's clear that the agency made a good faith mistake. We relied on case law, but we failed to update our procedures when we should have. And there's nothing in the record to indicate that it was, other than that, a good faith mistake. There's no evidence of the wanton or willful misconduct that other divisions of the Court of Appeals have held to be necessary for penalties for an inmate, and that's in Faulkner and Francis. Moreover, the one reason that we know McKee has the record, as I mentioned, is because we made that mistake. So because of that, we would ask, first, that the court not find Mr. McKee to be a prevailing party with respect to the jail record. But if you do, we would ask that the court give direction to the trial court that only costs should be issued, not penalties in this case. And just briefly, with respect to the question of redactions versus withholding documents in their entirety, we pointed out in our briefing that this is the first time that Mr. McKee has made this argument. The question of whether we got into discussions of bad faith or even this issue at the trial court level, we didn't really even get there because the trial court dismissed the case before we even got to talking about exemptions. So in that sense, we didn't bring up the bad faith because it never became an issue at the trial court. Had we talked about exemptions, we would have certainly argued about the bad faith issue probably at another hearing. But we also believe that this interpretation that a document essentially can never be exempt in its entirety is an absurd interpretation of the act. No court has taken the redaction requirement to that length. And in fact, in Koenig versus Pierce County, this court upheld the withholding of 44 pages of police reports and 139 pages of transcripts in their entirety. And certainly some of the data in those documents, the dates, the page numbers, maybe the to from lines, were not work product. But this court found they were exempt in their entirety. And in that case, there was a much briefer explanation of the withholding than we've provided in our case. And also in Harris, that case involved the withholding of a legal memo. And as I indicated earlier, the Court of Appeals found that that did not have to be reviewed in camera. And certainly, again, the legal memo presumably had page numbers, to, from, headers, footer, those types of things that really were not attorney work product.
Which case did you just
mention? Harris versus Pierce County. So our position is that this argument should be rejected. The courts have allowed documents to be withheld in their entirety. So in conclusion, we would ask that the court affirm the trial court's dismissal in this case, both dismissing the case and also the trial court's discretionary decision not to conduct in-camera review. And as to the jail record, if you do remand, we would ask that the court instruct the trial court that it's only as to costs, not penalties. Thank you.
Got you in about 6 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I guess we're going to start. The motion for summary judgment was not a motion to dismiss based upon a discovery violation. It was not a motion to dismiss based upon some absence of bad faith. It was a motion for summary judgment that the King County prosecutors seeking basically declared they didn't wrongfully withhold any records. They've now apparently admitted that they did, in fact, wrongfully withhold at least one record, and that being the jail records. And that means Mr. McKee's in a prevailing party. The issue about what penalties, if any, are appropriate is one that was not developed at the trial court level, and so there needs to be some additional work to be done on that. So the suggestion that this should best be remanded for the purposes of assessing costs is inappropriate given what the procedural posture was in this case up to that point. The issue with respect to work product and ability to redact, yes, the courts have found under certain circumstances that some records are wholly exempt. That is absolutely true. The King County prosecutor has not established why these records in this particular case were not redactable. And the Public Records Act is very clear that if a record can be redacted, it must be redacted. You cannot wholly exempt a partially exempt record. And analogies to other cases and other fact patterns without a specific basis on this record for these particular records to suggest that they are unredactable.
Well, are you saying those cases were wrongly cited then, that it's an absolute rule in all cases that every single page has to be provided, even if it's completely exempt, but the page must be provided and then blacked out or you know, everything but the header and date?
I think it depends upon what the nature of the redactions are. If we're talking about just a page number, I would actually concede that would be absurd to require a completely blacked out piece of paper with just a page number at the bottom. But there is information in these records that is not exempt, that's not subject to work product exemption, but that is useful to someone, that someone could use, someone may want to review. Looking at a page number on it, there's no purpose anyone could possibly have.
So, for example, in the record, you pointed out what?
I pointed out the headers, in terms of the to and from, the date that it was sent on, perhaps the subject line, depending. I think that it's King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office burden to prove that it is exempt. Ordinarily, I would say a subject line would be non-exempt, but could be useful to somebody. There may be some accompanying metadata. My client did request the information in electronic form, which maybe doesn't get you to metadata specifically, but certainly if there are records in electronic format, there would be some information built into those records that would not be work product in and of itself in terms of routing, that kind of thing. And there may be other portions of the record, even in the body of the actual email, that may be not work product. I just don't know because I don't have the records in front of me. They weren't produced. So that's, to a certain extent, speculation, but it appears that the prosecuting attorney's position is that they can just exempt the entire record without even reviewing to look to see what in there would be redactable on the basis that other cases dealing with work product have said, well, the whole record is exempt. Therefore, all of our records that have work product are exempt. There doesn't seem to be an analysis directly as to these particular records.
What's the impact of the failure to pay the charges?
I don't think it matters for the purposes of what's being claimed here. If we were suggesting that the records that were not on the exemption log were wrongfully withheld, that would be a different issue, of course. But these records were claimed to be exempt. They wouldn't have been produced regardless of whether or not Mr. McKee actually paid for the copying costs of them. And so the question is not what Mr. McKee did, it's what King County Prosecutor did in terms of denying access to the records. I do think there's also another overlay here, which is that, of course, Mr. McKee is an inmate. He's not able to do, as most people do, which is to inspect free, and that there's been decisions on that issue, so it doesn't necessarily, it's not an argument I'm making to the court here, but I do think that it is a little bit different posture in terms of the significance of failing to pay because he is an inmate, and the court shouldn't be considering that because it's not really relevant to these issues, but it is, I think, also understandable that Mr. McKee has not forked over hundreds of dollars to be able to pay the copying costs. So, thank you.